Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Just Press Start, episode 128, I think.
Yeah, 128.
128 of Just Press Start here at justpressstart.net.
I finally figured out what number we were on.
See?
I spent
it's hard to remember!
I spent all those weeks making fun of you, and then I went into the back end of our hosting service to look at what episodes were what and what numbers were where. I sat there going, huh, why did I call that episode 132 when it was really 126? What the heck is wrong with me? So, yeah, my bad.
That's quite all right. But, you know, for those of you who don't know us, I'm Jeff. That's Luke. What's going on, dude?
What up? Not a whole lot.
So do we just come right out of the gate with the, oh, Company X?
Honestly, I don't know if we could talk about them without having another lawsuit. Those of you that follow Jeff on Twitter, JPS Jeff Ort on Twitter, he'll know exactly what I'm talking about. Those of you that don't follow him, you should.
Well, I'm allowed to mention the company, I think. I'm just not allowed to mention Super Smash. Damn it.
You're doing it again. You're doing it again.
Nintendo.
Yeah, seriously.
It was good that they turned around. For those of you who didn't a chance.
Actually, I wouldn't go, oh, Nintendo. I just want to go WTF Nintendo.
For those of you who don't know the story, it was reported last night that at the Evo convention, which I guess is a fighting game convention-y thingy.
It's a big, huge fighting game convention in Las Vegas. It happens every year. It's been happening since, I think, like 2001, 2002.
Right.
It's been happening for a while. It's basically the entire fighting game scene, to where they all get together, they fight in the tournaments to find out who's the absolute best. I can remember back in 2003 that there was a guy by the name of Daigo versus somebody else, and he full counter parried some move by Chun-Li when they were doing the super move, and then came back with another super move to win. It was absolutely beautiful. It was madness. It was crazy. But overall, the whole idea of that convention is just really cool. It's just, there's no way in hell I'd ever go out to it, because I'd probably, you know, lose in the first round of whatever they're playing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But the point is, they're having this thing, and it's about time they wanted to start bringing up a Super Smash Brothers Brawl tournament that they were going to do as part of it. And as we know, Nintendo has some sort of stick up its collective area.
Rear end.
About live streaming or let's playing their titles. So they told the people, no, you cannot do it. And after the absolute storm of internet backlash, a couple hours afterward, they turned around and said, did we say you couldn't? We meant you could do it. No, everything's cool. You guys can stream it.
Do you know why the giant storm was there to begin with?
Because it's stupid.
No.
It's nothing but...
No.
Oh, no?
The Super Smash Brothers tournament was for charity. They were raising money for, I think, children's cancer research. And the tournament is to raise money for children's cancer research. So in the end, it's not like, you know, the hardcore, this is for the world championship. No, it was for who do you think is going to win, and all the money that gets put towards that person to win ends up getting donated to cancer research or something like that. It was actually a charity tournament that Nintendo was like, no, you can't do that. How dare you raise money for cancer with our game and stream it to people? What's wrong with you?
Because you know what? You know what? If I watch a Let's Play of Brawl, you know, 5-6 minutes, I think I've seen enough, and I certainly don't need to own a copy of Super Smash Brothers after that, I guess. Because, you know, I've seen everything there is to see.
Well, the...
You know, it's pretty plot intensive, you know.
But
Mario punches Pikachu. Oh, sorry, spoilers. Mario punches Pikachu. So, just in case you weren't aware of that.
Link and Star Fox get into a brawl on the wing of Star Fox's ship.
Oh, man, I haven't seen that part yet.
Well, no, it's not.
Next, you're going to tell me everybody died in the Red Wedding, too, you bastard. Ah.
Nice.
Unreal.
It's not that. It's also Nintendo pissing away a golden opportunity. Now, I know you're going to sit there and you're going to be like, how is that a golden opportunity for Nintendo? It's free publicity!
Well, yeah, it's free publicity. The Wii U... I'm sorry, it's still funny every time I say it out loud.
Hey.
The Wii U is, you know, a distant... almost memory at this point. I think some people still have it. I think it's funny that the most popular game for Nintendo right now is Animal Crossing for the 3DS.
Oh my
that
God.
Should say something about how powerful the Wii U is and how popular it is, what a force of nature it is, that a 3DS game...
My Twitter feed, the amount of press that play that new Animal Crossing, oh my God.
Well, you know, Animal Crossing is the awesome. I'm going to introduce the Ryan to it.
It is awesome. I remember playing Animal Crossing when it first came out, and I was back in college. There was four of us on a single, and was it the GameCube that had that?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was the GameCube. I remember we had one GameCube in the one friend's house, and there was four people playing in the one city, and it was funny because the friend would just leave his house open, and whenever we were in the area and had a free moment, we would go turn it on, play our character, do our stuff, and then leave. And it was like kind of like a whole living city on this friend's GameCube, and it was the coolest thing. We'd leave notes and crap for each other, make fun of each other and stuff. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, piss each other off too, because, you know, one of us would get there and it would be raining, which means you'd get the really cool, like, gyroid zoid dude things from that first one.
That was
one.
Good. You got better fish when it rained too, if I remember correctly.
Yes, you did. But there would only be like 2 to 4 of those little robot guys. And if you were the first one to get there as it was raining, you'd dig all 4 of them up and piss everyone else off. Leave a little message on the board being like, ha ha, suckers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, you know, Nintendo, it almost seems like they and Microsoft are having a contest to see who can do a crappier job of PR. It's unbelievable. It's but what I do find interesting, what I find really interesting about this is the fact that Nintendo and Microsoft learned in a matter of days/hours what it took Sony about 4 years to pick up on. That when the internet backdraft gets nasty enough, it's going to start affecting your bottom line because people are going to stop buying things or going to make complaints or whatever and make your life a living hell until you change your dumbass idea. It took Sony a while, but man, they're running away with it this time. Microsoft had that issue for about a month with the you know, everything's going to be DRM in the 24 hours and get over it and all that stuff. And they finally learned, they reversed their policy. And Nintendo, to its credit, somebody was smart enough to look and say, this isn't going over real well. We should probably change our minds. But the fact that they even thought that, you know, that this was a good idea. I mean, okay, like, you know, there's protecting your IP, but there's also, you know, come on, this isn't, you're not giving away plot. It's Smash Brothers. Let's all try to find a happy middle ground here.
I don't know. They just seem to be shooting themselves in the foot constantly. And it is what it is.
The problem is executives at these companies are much older, and even though they work in technology, they don't have the handle on how it's the same thing with Hollywood. You know, it's somebody was talking about action movies the other day, and action movies suck. Jen was saying this. I don't remember where she heard it. Or if she came up with this on her own, she said, action movies suck now for the most part because the 65-year-old studio executive who thought an action movie was awesome 40 years ago or 20 years ago is still greenlighting the ideas he thinks, because it's always a he thinks are good. And that's why we're kind of stuck in this rut. So I think it's the same thing with gaming. It's ideas that, you know, these older developers are having, and they're set in their ways now because they're much older. They're trying to go back, you know, just like battle, you know, war, people always fight the new war the way the last war was fought until someone realizes it was a stupid idea and comes up with something new and they're the ones who win. You know, it's that same mentality. They're stuck in the past and they don't understand that, well, you know, people will want what we give them. No, people want what they want, and they have a way to instantly let you know very strongly how they feel about it, and that can cause a groundswell, and it's a much bigger thing than a letter writing campaign 10 years ago. So Nintendo, come on, you're better than this.
Yeah, and I don't know. It is what it is. Is you know, it's the way I look at it. It really, it just is as it is, because I don't know. Sony's not sitting there being like, oh, you can't do this, and even Microsoft is not sitting there going like, oh, you can't do this. In fact, both systems are trying to incorporate streaming into their consoles, right, more. And you know, there's, you know, where personally, you and I aren't personally into that yet, and as much as I'd like to get Just Press Start there, I really can't get good enough internet connection to do it, but there's a culture behind streaming.
Oh, absolutely.
It really is. Like, I'd love to get us into, like a Google Hangout or something, so people can see what we look like and just talk about games, let alone actually sitting there playing them and showing folks, you know, mm-hmm. what that game is like and how it works and whatnot. We're doing what we did with the Guns of Icarus
right.
interview, where we were playing the game while we were talking about it. You did that with you did that with God Factory.
Right, exactly. So, and again, I get it for something that's very plot heavy or something, you know, for certain types of games, I can see why you'd be more concerned. But again, for something like this, especially if it's something for charity, if what you're saying is accurate, and I'm sure it is, mm-hmm. you know, it's just so short-sighted.
Well, you know, this all came up yesterday while we were actually, you know, everyone listening is going to gasp a little bit, while we were actually playing a board game. And, you know, another guy, Mike, who's, you know, loosely associated with our podcast, he sat there and he was reading about it in between his turns and whatnot. And, you know, he sat there and he basically was like, oh, my God, what does this mean for the whole speedrunning, you know, the speedrunning culture that's out there in video games as well? For those that don't know, speedrunning is you take an old video game and you try to beat it as fast as you possibly can, however you can, if you will.
Right.
And the speedrunning community raised something like $400,000 for a charity, and they did it speedrunning certain Nintendo licensed classic games. And mm-hmm. you know, he sat there going, oh my God, what does that mean for that entire community that once a year they band together to raise a super amount of money for some charity kind of thing? And you know, it just kind of leaves you sitting there going, huh.
It means they switch to old Sega games.
Yeah, they're not as easy.
No, it's like I said, it's just very short-sighted. It's people who don't who have kind of been left behind by the technology they helped create. They have their head set from the way they created something because it worked back then. And you see this in every industry. Just people, this is the way we've always done it. But right, but there's new stuff now. So they don't understand. They're very, very conservative at this point because the money that it's so expensive now to produce games. They're so terrified of piracy, which is, again, why you see things like the clamping down that Ubisoft did with their DRM and, you know, all the speaking of which, hey, kudos. I read this on Giant Bomb. Hey, kudos there, Ubisoft, for having all that DRM in place. So thank God. Oh, I have to go change my password now. Damn.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's people who are in positions of power who've been left behind by the technology. They're generally more fiscally conservative, so they're terrified of being ripped off, so they clamp down more. And, You know, it just, it doesn't help anyone. It doesn't help their bottom line. It doesn't help the PR war. And then everybody's shocked when something new comes along and wipes it out. You know, they're going to be stunned. I'm sure Nintendo is still stunned that the Wii U is not the, the top selling box that goes Bing. So, well, whatever. Anyway.
Wow.
Speaking of poor decisions.
Yes.
Or interesting decisions.
Okay.
Let's talk about
Don Matrick.
Why don't we? Yes.
Don Matrick gets done basically making fun of anybody that can't connect to the internet in any way, shape, or form. Basically says, yeah, if you can't connect to the internet, we have a system for you. It's called the Xbox. Yes, I know this news is a bit old. And, after saying that, basically leaves Xbox and gets hired at Zynga, of all places.
Now, I have to wonder, was this already in the works before E3 and before all this stuff? So he was just burning his bridges on the way out?
I don't know. I have no words for this, really. I really don't. Why would anybody at X or Microsoft even allow that to happen?
Well, I mean, again, did they know? Because think about it. If you're going to interview for another job, you're certainly not going to tell your current job, oh, by the way, I'm looking at another company. You don't do that. So this could have been probably was in the works for quite a while. So did he go in and just say, did he not care? Was he burning bridges because he was mad on the way out? I mean, I don't know the inside scoop behind his relationship with his bosses at Microsoft. Did he leave on good terms and just happened to go to Zynga? Did they push him out the door, or Zynga, however it's pronounced? Did they push him out the door because of the bad press after E3? Or, was this in the works for a while and he either didn't care or intentionally, like I said, burned some bridges on the way out?
It's
fascinating.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. It really is.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt or help Zynga in any conceivable way. There's so many people doing free-to-play. They have so many irons in the fire. I mean, it might make a difference, but I don't think people are going to flock away from their titles based on, oh, man, Don's running the PR show? I don't know. Versus, I don't like Farmville. I'm not playing it. Or, oh, man, I love Mafiaville or whatever it's called, Crimeville, so I'm going to play it more. I don't know what a difference it's going to make, but I do, like I said, I wonder what the story was for him with his exit. I would love to see that expose a couple of years from now to see what went down.
You know what I wonder?
What's that?
I wonder if Zynga laid off 500 people just to hire him.
Wow.
Hey, dude, Zynga's evil, and that's like the greatest evil thing to do, And
cynical, but
Zynga's going down the tubes, and well, I'm sorry, huh? I normally don't like this guy, but I do agree with his comment on this, is that hiring Don Matrick is like hiring the captain of the pilot of the Hindenburg to captain the Titanic. And that was said by Francis, those of you that watch him on YouTube.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Microsoft will right its own ship at some point, so I don't know that I agree with that aspect of it. And Zynga, whatever, I mean, who knows? That they might fold tomorrow. They might be a force for quite some time. Like I said, I don't think this one hire makes enough of a difference either way. Mm-hmm. He certainly knows something about. I don't know. Since Matrick wasn't the. I mean, he's a public face of the company, but really, I mean, maybe it's just me, but I know that mostly when I think Microsoft, I think Major Nelson.
Yeah, but
in terms of the public face of things, so I mean, I don't know that. It'll be more about business acumen and things like that than it will be about his name recognition, I would think. But
well, when it comes down to things, and you're really looking at it and working with it, you know, Major Nelson is more. Yes, he is the face of Xbox, but he wasn't running Xbox. He doesn't run Xbox.
Right.
Don Matrick was the CEO of Xbox. He was numero uno, head honcho, however you want to do it.
Right. That's why I'm saying it'll be more about his business acumen than it will be about his name recognition, because it's how he ran a fairly solid company just until this last part.
Until the Xbox One and all of its policies?
Yeah.
He's the one that had to green light that. You know, you got to kind of think of that.
That's why I'm saying, did he have a falling out with people higher up the food chain than him and said, F it on the way out and burn some bridges? Or did he really think he was making the best decision? And again, he was left behind by gaming society, and he's really sitting there going, I don't understand. Why are people mad? So again, I don't know that any of that baggage is going to hurt or help Zynga. I mean, people already have a fairly, you know, you have your attitude towards them or not. Some people call them evil like you did. Some people just say they make great little games. So I don't play them, but you know, there are certainly enough people out there who do.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know that, like I said, I just really have to wonder about the timing, and was he pushed out the door, or did he already know he was leaving and just say, eh? Or was it more sinister?
Who knows?
We'll probably never know, but I would love to read that story a couple of years from now.
Yeah, so would I. That's if that story ever comes out, too.
Well, you know, maybe years from now it might, because, you know, things like that, like Silicon Knights? Yeah. That expose that came out, and some of those other ones that come out years after something crumbles. So who knows? Maybe if Zynga is run into the ground, hear about it.
So, maybe. You never know.
Never know.
Huh. So
other news for
honestly,
people who go to the site. Yes, we actually have other news.
I was going to say, honestly, for talking points, nothing big.
Well, the first thing is, again, and this isn't for clickbaiting, this isn't for anything, we don't even need to mention this anywhere. My thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Ryan Davis from Giant Bomb, because that's a horrendous tragedy.
It is. All right, I'm not being mean, I'm just curious, does anybody know what he passed away from?
I haven't seen anything yet. I wonder if the guys do know, because it happened the middle of last week.
Yeah.
I don't know if the guys do and they're just keeping it quiet. I'm kind of hoping that's the case, because it doesn't matter.
Well, no, you know? I'm just.
I know.
How tragic is it? Like, it's tragic in its own right. And I'm going to be honest, I didn't personally know any of those guys at all, but it's a giant blow. Not just to the Giant Bomb folks and his newly, you know, his new wife, because they were only married like a week.
Not even.
Yeah. And that in itself is tragic, but it's like, it's a giant blow to the, you know, the whole games journalism thing as a whole.
Because and everything.
That was awesome.
It was just a night. In fact, I mean, the closest I have to a story about him, I just find this funny. Is, you know, I saw him at PAX a few months back, and I remember calling somebody to say, hey, I think this is Ryan from Giant Bomb. I was pretty sure. Do you want to come over and say hi to him while he's over here? Because people are going and getting autographs or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, well, I don't want to go say hi to him. But they followed him around the rest of the day. Kind of like, it's Ryan. It's so cool. Ryan's awesome. So, you know, I found it's a little thing. So, you know, I didn't know him, but, you know, I'm only a couple years older, and, you know, we're in the same business. Of course, he had to a far higher degree of success than we will ever achieve. But, you know, it's just a horrendous tragedy. And I saw one of the retweets from his dad where he was putting up pictures of him as a 5-year-old, and man, I almost started crying. So I was like, this is, Jen was saying she tried to listen to the commemorative bombcast they just did last night. Mm-hmm. She said she got a few minutes in and she's like, I can't be sobbing at work. So yeah. it's just because, like I said, she's watched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these, you know, thousands of hours. So, I mean, she to her, she like practically knew these guys. And that's I know how most of the fans are. I'm just hoping to God that Greg Kasavin is holding up, because he's the closest thing that we have to knowing that crew.
Well, you know, yeah, Greg mentioned on Twitter, and this really isn't news or anything worthwhile,
right,
but even he mentioned, you know, he's not usually one to cry at anything, and by the end of the episode, he was almost to tears.
They were good friends. They worked together forever. I mean, it's
just, yeah.
I can't even, like I said, I feel a sense of loss, and I never actually met him. So
I got to say hi to him in passing at PAX last year, because he was at the Wildstar presser that I was at.
Okay.
So that was really cool. And I got to, you know, just meet him and shake his hand and stuff. And even when I heard that, the first thing that came out of my mouth is like, you've got to be joking, because I was shocked.
Yeah. I was telling Jen, and she didn't believe me.
Yeah.
Like, why are you saying something so horrible? And I'm like,
I'm not.
And no, it's, and I get it. You know, it's just, again, it's just so senseless, because, you know, so young, such a, and from all accounts, just such a good guy. And it's really a shame.
It is.
So I don't have any kind of good segue out of this, but in happier news.
Yeah,
I put it up on the site, but for people who want to listen to it as well, our friends at Minicore Studios, John Warren, Shelley Smith, those guys, Leica Believes, Tumblewords, they have just announced a Kickstarter and a Steam Greenlight campaign for episode one of Leica Believes, The Sun at Night.
Nice.
I've got all the pertinent information up on the site right now, and please, 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 please support these guys, because it's going to be incredible. And like I said, I just wish them all the success.
Yeah, no, that's cool to hear. I was actually starting to wonder what was going on with that game, you know.
Well, they were pretty close anyway. They said they were pretty close to finishing episode one anyway. So this is, you know, again, you can go to the Kickstarter for more detail, but they're saying they want to really add to the graphics and add to the coding for when they translate it to other platforms. And, you know, so there's definitely a lot of work left to be done. Mm-hmm. Especially on the future episodes. And other news, the indie hit Teleglitch is being published by Paradox. I don't know if you've heard, it's a 8-16-bit roguelike, you know, top down roguelike, horror roguelike with robots.
Uh-huh.
And I've tried the demo already. The demo is fantastic. I was actually set to purchase the game, but now Paradox is pulling it. Well, they didn't pull it, but since Paradox is publishing it, their version has been pulled in favor of the new, I think, Prepare to Die edition. I'll have some more information up on the site about that. I'm going to have the guys on the podcast very soon, and hopefully we'll be able to get a review out there when they're ready to launch as well.
Nice.
And I've also got a couple other reviews fire, some stuff that's embargoed, so I can't actually talk about it. But it's from some people that we've had on the show previously, so I'm very excited about that.
I just released my Valdez story, Abyssal City preview. Honestly, folks, that one's on Greenlight. You're going to want to check that out. And if you actually read the article, there is a link in the article to download the demo and try the game out. It is a 2D Symphony of the Night meets Dust and Elysian Tale kind of game. Very beautiful art, you know, very beautiful art style, Metroidvania-esque, really great game. But instead of just being one character, the demo, you can only play as two characters, and the final game, when it comes out late this summer, there will be four playable characters.
And our friend Zach is involved in this, is he not?
Yes, Zach Parrish, our guy that does our intro music and our outro music.
You know,
he's got like 2.5 hours of music in this game. And I can tell you right now, being that, you know, I'm one of the 99 people he gives access to the entire album, all I can say is that it's absolutely phenomenally done. Like,
well, you know, he does do some pretty freaking good music. What people don't know, real quick, the opening theme every week. He performs that live. He's sitting here next to me right now. He performs that live. Oh.
I don't know if he would appreciate that.
Weekly, he performs that live.
Nice. I will let him know that he is mentioned in this episode so he can listen to the fact that he actually sits next to you performing live weekly.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty cool, too.
Nice. Let him have the microphone, Jeff. Let him talk now. But he does. I'm going to be honest. I loved the music for Dust and Elysian Tale. All right. And I was raving over that last year, and I was like, oh my God, Hyperduck, this music's so beautiful. Yay. Don't get me wrong. I still love Dust and Elysian Tale's music. But Valdis' story, Abyssal City's music, is like 10 times better.
That's awesome.
Oh, it is. Great stuff. So, yeah, definitely, if you read the preview, there is a link in the beginning of the article and the end of the article to go and download the demo. And honestly, play it. It's good stuff. It's on Steam Greenlight. They're not looking for money. It's not on Kickstarter. It was on Kickstarter, but it's not anymore. And, yeah, give them the thumbs up. Try the game out. Check it out. It's good. It's good.
So what are you saying?
It's good.
Ah.
So.
Well, I think with that, we have come to the end of this episode, because I think we've gotten through everything we needed to get through. All indications point to that the Steam sale starting tomorrow.
Really? Is it? I want me a Steam sale.
Well,
I'm horrible.
All indications point to it. So if that is the case, we're probably not recording next week because I'm going to be too busy snapping up deals.
What inside information do you have that points to the Steam sale starting tomorrow?
Nothing. I just know it in my bones.
Because it was supposed to start Tuesday.
The Steam sale never starts on a Tuesday.
Really?
No.
Really?
No, never.
No, the
It has never started on a Tuesday. You're wrong.
The ugh is the
one
that I'm relaying. Do you have
there? It just makes me shake my head in wonder. That's all.
Hey, that's fine. Because I know Final Fantasy VII was just released, and $12 is not bad, but I'd love to see that go on sale.
$12 is way too high for Final Fantasy VII.
You know that pay that you get for this whole podcast? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not getting it anymore.
I was going to say that pay would be too much for Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, you did not.
I did. I did not enjoy the Final Fantasy VII.
And you know what? With that, folks, we're going to call this episode 128, the one where Jeff gets fired.
Oh, man.
I'm kidding.
Well,
that happens.
What then? If I get fired, that's okay, because I can go back to playing Super Smash Brothers Brawl and do a Let's Play. Oh, wait.
No, because without that money from doing this, you won't be able to pay for the lawsuit.
Oh, that's true, too.
Anyway.
Yeah, but you know who could help me out with it, with the money for the lawsuit if it were to happen?
Who?
Phil Fish, because he's apparently allowed to patch Fez again, and apparently he's not being charged this time, so he's got 50 grand extra that... Oh.
Wow. Anyway, on that note, follow us at JPS Game Podcast on Twitter. We are also JPS Game Podcast on Facebook. We are on Google Plus if you can find us. Awesome. It's just press start. Look for us. Please add us on Google Plus, because I feel like I'm adding the articles and adding little tasteful commentary every now and again there for no reason at all. Also, you can follow Jeff on Twitter at JPS Jeff Ort. That's at JPS J-E-F-F O-R-T. And then myself, I'm at JPS Zeserox. That's at JPS X-E-S-E-R-O-X. And please, you know, follow us, tweet with us. We do tweet cool stuff, I think.
Yes, I think so.
Sometimes I tweet dumb stuff.
People seem to be happy with what we tweet.
I guess. Oh, and does anybody want a copy of Leisure Suit Larry? Leave a comment on the website when this goes live.
Oh.
Because I am so not reviewing that. I'm sorry, I can't. I can't lower myself to that level.
Well, IGN already did. They were not kind, so.
Oh, so I can review it and be totally.
No, because you actually need to play it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you gotta play stuff if you're gonna review it. That's kind of how that goes.
I stopped playing those games, you know, when they came out. I actually never played a single one of them because I never liked them.
But thank you though for clearly winning us friends and influencing people with the PR people who sent you the code. That's good.
I think a robot sent me the code because I actually emailed them back asking if they wanted it back to give it to somebody else because I said I didn't have time for it.
Oh, okay.
So, and I did not get a reply yet.
Hmm.
And oddly enough, I'm looking at the email again. It's not a PR company we've ever worked with before.
Oh, and we won't again. All right.
Hey, it is what it is.
Anyway, folks, so yeah, leave them a comment if you want to try it out, and we will be back next week, unless, again, Steam sale's going on, in which case...
We'll be back next week.
All right, fine. All right, see you, everybody.
Bye.